techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address if you want to get in touch, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. I'll get to some of those tech questions a little bit later on. But before we do, I want to talk to you about this.
Listen, before I go on, I want to make something clear.
Okay.
I have a hunch you're not a fan of Facebook. But I am.
I am here to help Facebook, not hurt it. Okay?
You send me a message. What would you like to talk about?
The chairman gavels the session to order. You'll read your opening statement, which we'll skip past for now. That's a separate session. And we'll move to witness questioning.
Spell your name and state your current occupation for the record.
MarkZuckerberg.
And your occupation?
I'm a professional defendant.
I ran classifiers on political groups where 30% of content hits multiple risk factors.
Hang on, I don't understand what you're saying.
Aren't you a tech reporter?
Ish.
Ish?
These guys are counting on the next round of congressional testimony to make you likable, Mark.
I'm happy to lend a hand, but I think you're doomed.
This company and that guy are playing an unprecedented role in our lives.
The fire hose of bad information you are injecting into the air supply is becoming jet powered.
I'm a free speech absolutist. I'm not the one who's lying, and I'm not stopping them from seeing someone who is.
Anxiety, depression of teenage girls got worse as a result of time spent on the platform.
Senior leadership knows and is doing nothing.
I know there are easier enemies to make.
The mafia would be an easier enemy to make.
So what would you need?
To stand up the story, the internal documents.
This is a material violation of my NDA.
We're twice as big as the biggest country on Earth. We're not frightened of Congress. We're post-government around here.
Please, please, let me quote that.
We have 102 hours to get everything.
She's going to get sued into small pieces.
I don't want to be made an example of by a guy with unlimited resources.
Harm, I promise you, is imminent.
Enough! People around here understand that when I say no, that's the end of the debate. I'm not 2 years out of a dorm room anymore, Charlie. Look around.
That is the trailer for The Social Reckoning, written, produced and directed by Aaron Sorkin, starring Jeremy Strong, who you will know as Kendall from Succession as Mark Zuckerberg. That trailer dropped in the last week and it has had many people, such as myself, counting down the days until its October 9th release date. But I want to spend a bit of time looking at the story that's at the heart of this new film. And to do that, we need to wind the clock back to 2010. This is the iconic music heard at the beginning of 2010's The Social Network. Directed by David Fincher and written by Aaron Sorkin, this film told the origin story of Facebook. It painted Facebook as the ultimate tech fairy tale. Set in a Harvard dorm room, there was friendship, betrayal, and genius.
It's raining.
I'm sorry?
It just started raining.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
No.
Do you think I deserve it?
What?
Do you think I deserve your full attention?
I had to swear an oath before we began this deposition, and I don't want to perjure myself, so I have a legal obligation to say no.
Okay, no. You don't think I deserve your attention?
I think if your clients want to sit on my shoulders and call themselves tall, they have a right to give it a try, but there's no requirement that I enjoy sitting here listening to people lie. You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount. The rest of my attention is back at the offices of Facebook, where my colleagues and I are doing things that no one in this room, including and especially your clients, are intellectually or creatively capable of doing. Did I adequately answer your condescending question?
By the end of that film, Mark Zuckerberg is wealthy beyond belief, but cuts a rather lonely figure. Now, as we know, because we've lived through it, by the mid-2010s, Facebook wasn't just a social network anymore. It was a global information system, influencing elections, shaping behaviours, and driving billions in advertising revenue. And that's where The Social Reckoning picks up the story.
The reality is, it doesn't matter if Facebook is spending $14 billion on safety a year. If they should be spending $25 billion or $35 billion, that's the real question. And right now, there's no incentives internally that if you make noise saying we need more help, like people will not get rallied around for help.
At the center of the social reckoning is one woman named Frances Haugen. A former Facebook data scientist, Haugen has become one of the most important whistleblowers in tech history.
Facebook wants you to believe that the problems we're talking about are unsolvable. They want you to believe in false choices. They want you to believe that you must choose between a Facebook full of divisive and extreme content or losing one of the most important values our country was founded upon, free speech. That you must choose between public oversight of Facebook's choices and your personal privacy. That to be able to share fun photos of your kids with old friends, you must also be inundated with anger-driven virality. They want you to believe that this is just part of the deal. I am here today to tell you that's not true. These problems are solvable. But there's one thing that I hope everyone takes away from these disclosures. It is that Facebook can change, but is clearly not going to do so on its own.
Frances Haugen did not set out to become a public figure. She was a data scientist working inside Facebook as part of a team tasked with understanding how the platform actually behaved once it reached billions of users. By her own account, she joined the company because she believed it could do good and because she wanted to work on issues like misinformation and civic integrity. But what she found inside the company changed that. When Haugen left in 2021, she didn't just walk away. She copied tens of thousands of internal documents, research reports, presentations, data analysis, and handed them to regulators and journalists. What followed became known as the Facebook Papers, and it marked one of the most significant whistleblower moments in big tech history. At the heart of her claims was a simple but deeply troubling idea that Facebook understood the negative consequences of its products but repeatedly failed to address them when doing so might hurt growth. One strand of that centered on young people. Internal research conducted by Facebook itself found that Instagram could worsen body image issues for a significant number of teenage girls. Some users reported that the platform made them feel worse about their appearance. Others linked it to anxiety and negative self-perception. Haugen's allegation was not just that harm existed, but that the company had measured it and then did not act decisively to reduce it.
I'm here today because I believe Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people.
Another key claim focused on the algorithm, the system that decides what appears in your feed. Haugen told US lawmakers that Facebook's ranking system prioritized engagement above all else. Content that generated strong reactions, particularly anger or outrage, were more likely to be amplified because it kept people on the platform for longer. That, she argued, created a structural problem. Even if Facebook did not intend to promote harmful content, its design choices could reward it. She put it starkly in her testimony to Congress. Quote, "The thing I saw at Facebook over and over again was conflicts of interest between what's good for the public and what was good for Facebook. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests." There were also global implications. Haugen said Facebook's own research showed it struggled to manage misinformation and harmful content in countries outside of the US, particularly where fewer resources had been allocated for moderation. In some cases, she alleged, the company knew its safeguards were weaker internationally, even as its platform played a major role in shaping political discourse. Taken together, her disclosures painted a picture of a company not unaware of harm, but grappling with trade-offs and often choosing growth, engagement and revenue. Facebook, by then operating under the name Meta, strongly pushed back. Mark Zuckerberg addressed these allegations publicly, saying the idea his company deliberately prioritized harmful content was fundamentally wrong. In a message to staff shortly after the revelations, he wrote that, quote, many of the claims don't make sense. And he described the narrative presented by Haugen and the media as a, quote, false picture of the company. He also argued that the incentive structure ran in the opposite direction, that it would be bad for business for Facebook to promote harmful content. Quote, we make money from ads and advertisers consistently tell us they don't want their ads next to harmful or angry content. And I don't know any tech company that sets out to build products that make people angry or depressed. Zuckerberg insisted that issues like safety, mental health and misinformation were ones the company cared deeply about, pointing to investments in content moderation, safety tools and research. He acknowledged that Facebook was not perfect, but maintained that the company's work was often mischaracterized. There was also a broader defense emerging from Meta, that these were complex societal issues, not problems any single platform could solve. Executives argued that the relationship between social media and mental health, or social media and political division, was not straightforward and that causation was often difficult to establish.
Mr. Zuckerberg, let me start with you. Did I hear you say in your opening statement that there's no link between mental health and social media use?
Senator, what I said is I think it's important to look at the science. I know it's people widely talk about this as if that is something that's already been proven. And I think that the bulk of the scientific evidence does not support that.
For Haugen, that response missed the point. Her argument was not that Facebook alone created these problems, but that it had unparalleled visibility into its own systems, and that with that knowledge came responsibility. She framed her decision to come forward as an attempt to close what she described as a gap between what the company knew internally and what it said publicly. What made her revelations land so forcefully was that they were rooted in Facebook's own research. This was not an external critique or academic study. It was the company's data, its language, and its internal conclusions. That left a lasting question, one that still shapes the debate around social media today. When a platform understands the risk built into its design, what obligation does it have to change them, even if doing so comes a cost? As we know, Meta has faced a wave of legal action in the US, including landmark cases where courts have found its platforms contributed to harm among young users. Those cases are not isolated. Thousands of similar lawsuits are now working their way through the courts, with school districts, families and state authorities all alleging that social media companies knowingly created systems that kept young people hooked. Alongside that, regulators, particularly here in Europe, have taken a more aggressive stance. The European Union has issued significant fines against Meta over its advertising practices and use of user data, while privacy watchdogs, including our own DPC, have forced the company to pause or rethink major initiatives, including the use of personal data to train its AI systems. The result is a company operating under far greater scrutiny than ever before, legally, politically, and publicly. And while Meta continues to deny many of the allegations against it and has pledged to appeal court decisions, the questions raised by Haugen's disclosure have not gone away. If anything, they've shifted from internal documents to courtrooms and regulators, and into an ongoing global debate about how much responsibility social media companies should bear for the world they help shape. Now, as I said, the movie is not out until October, but I will be intrigued to see, firstly, how much of the story is contained within the film and also how they treat it. I would love to know your thoughts. If you have seen the trailer, let me know. techtalk@newstalk.com. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, I'll answer your tech questions.